The first ever image of a black hole was released this week. The picture itself shows a grainy ring of light surrounding a large black spot. The black hole, announced this week, has been given the Hawaiian name Povehi, meaning embellished dark source of unending creation. Black holes like Povehi have long been theorized, but this is the latest and some would say strongest proof that the supermassive astronomical objects exist and play a significant role in our universe. Our next guest is here to talk about the image, the research that went into compiling this picture, and what it means for the field of astrophysics moving forward. Sebastian Hines is professor and chair of the astronomy department at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He joins us in the studio. Sebastian, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
First, what was your reaction to this news?
I was blown away. We have, as the department, we scheduled a viewing session for the press release, and we were all assembled there at 8 o'clock in the morning to see this announcement, and there was clapping and much jollity and laughter and joy.
And I bet that you gathered there probably appreciate so much more than the average person like me what would go into this kind of discovery.
There is a lot of work that the teams that were involved put into this. Yes, you know, over 10 years of work by hundreds of people, and it's mind-blowing how it all came together.
And did you ever think we would see an image like this?
We knew that this was eventually going to happen. The question is, how long does it take? And of course, we didn't really know what it was going to look like, because that was the big question. What will it look like when you actually see the image? And there are predictions, and different theories of gravity would have had different predictions from Einstein's theory, and that's why this image is so important.
So tell us more about this black hole. Is there a way to say where it is?
We know where it is, and we knew, at least we had a very good indication that it was there before we had the image, of course. It's in the center of a very large galaxy in the nearest galaxy cluster, the Virgo cluster in the constellation Virgo, with hundreds of galaxies swarming around. And this very big galaxy in the center of that cluster has a very energetic and massive object in its very center. And like most other galaxies, we believe that that object is a black hole. And now we have the image that proves that.
And so how big is it compared to, I mean, I'm not going to ask you for dimensions, but how big is it compared to the galaxy that is surrounding it?
So the interesting thing about black holes and galaxies is that black holes are tiny compared to the galaxies they live in. So in this particular case, the black hole is roughly the size of our solar system. For a black hole, that is very, very large. It's one of the largest black holes that we know. It's about 1,000 times larger than the black hole in the center of our own galaxy, and a billion times larger than the black holes that are produced when stars die. Compared to the galaxy it lives in, it is very, very, very small. It's millions of times smaller than the typical scales of a galaxy. Yet we know that this black hole has profound influence on the galaxy it lives in and on the surrounding medium and the environment of that galaxy.
So give us, maybe we should have started with this, give us kind of black hole 101. What do they do and how do they form?
Those are great questions. Black holes can live a variety of lives. When they are dormant, when they don't have any food supply, they just rest and they're basically invisible except for their gravity. When they have access to food, so in this case, this would be gas or maybe a star that they can rip apart and swallow. Then they light up and become the brightest objects in the universe, and they become real monsters. And in the case of this black hole in the center of the Virgo cluster in M87, that's the galaxy that it lives in, this is a relatively bright monster, so to speak. So that's what they do. And when they, what we call accrete, when they eat, they not only light up, but they also spew out relativistic, so very, very fast plasma, that is energetic particles and magnetic fields that fly away almost at the speed of light in two funnels. We call those jets. And this is one of those black holes that we've studied for a long time that spew out these enormous amounts of energy. And so this is how they influence, this is how they act on their environment, this is how they, what we call feedback, how they put energy back into the large cosmos. Now, how do they form? And that's a great question that we really don't know the answer to yet. We know how small black holes form. You may have recalled that a few years ago, there was a discovery of gravitational waves from emerging black holes. That was a big news event. And those black holes are small. They form when stars die, very big stars, not like our sun, but still normal stars. And when they die, they can make black holes. And when two of those black holes come together, they can merge and make gravitational waves and grow. These really massive black holes in the centers of galaxies are a different story altogether. We know that they've existed for a long time, quite early in the universe, in the centers of galaxies, and we don't really know where they come from to begin with. There are theories about how they could have formed, like the one in M87 and in the Virgo cluster, this recent image, but we don't really know yet where they come from.
We're talking with Sebastian Hines. He's professor and chair of the astronomy department at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And we are talking about the image that was just released this week of a black hole, the first image of a black hole that we have been able to see. Sebastian, I want to go back to something you said. So you made these black holes sound kind of like monsters that are consuming things. You also mentioned that there's a black hole in our universe, or our
galaxy.
Our galaxy.
In the Milky Way.
Should we be concerned?
We should not be concerned. That's a great question.
It felt like it needed to be asked.
In fact, the black hole in the center of our own galaxy, it's called Sagittarius A star. So it's part of the constellation Sagittarius, and it is a radio source, but it's not a very bright radio source. It is not actually what we call an active black hole. It is quite dormant. It is not swallowing a lot of gas right now. And so it is pretty sleepy. It's, in fact, one of the blackest black holes that we know.
Good for us, right?
Good for us. But even if it were to shine brightly, it would not mean a great deal for us. It would be more highly visible, but it would not endanger any life on Earth.
So a lot of attention has been paid to Katie Bauman, a computer scientist who helped develop the algorithm that allowed the picture to come into being. Let's take a listen to her talk about the significance of the image.
Even though we had predicted that if you had a black hole that you would see this ring of light, we didn't know we were going to get that ring of light. And that's, you know, what we were kind of testing. We could have gotten just a blob. And so seeing that ring and seeing a ring that has a size that is consistent with other measurements that have been done completely differently, I think that in itself is amazing and stronger proof for black holes than so many other tests that have been done before. It's the first time we actually can see the environment right next to a black hole, the environment of a black hole. And so that in itself, I think, just being able to see that ring of light, being able to see that ring exists is huge.
That, again, was Katie Bauman, one of the scientists who helped us deliver this image. And as an astronomer and astrophysicist, what does that image say and show and maybe lead to more information being available?
That's a great question. So there are a number of things that we learn from this image, and Katie alluded to a lot of that already. So the fact that there's a ring is very, very important, and the shape of that ring is very important. So there were predictions, of course, as to what we would see, and those predictions, as I mentioned, they vary from theory to theory about the nature of black holes and the nature of gravity. And so measuring the shape of that ring as a circle is a very important confirmation of the predictions that you would derive from Einstein's theory of gravity. And so this is one of the strongest tests that we were able to do to date of Einstein's theory in an environment that is not accessible to us anywhere else. Really, this what we call strong field gravity environment only exists in the surrounding areas of black holes and maybe neutron stars, these other extreme objects that live in our own galaxy as well. But there is no other environment in the universe where we could make these tests. And we have now been able to verify predictions by Einstein's theory. And that's a very gratifying result, of course.
And what was the instrument? I mean, there were obviously lots of people working, I'm sure, on lots of very powerful computers. But where did the image itself come from?
The image is actually synthesized from a virtual telescope, if you will. So this is a radio image to begin with. So it's not something you would see with your eyes. It is taken by radio telescopes in the millimeter wavelength or submillimeter wavelength range of frequencies and wavelength. And so this is something that you would use maybe in radar or, kind of cell phone technology. Astronomers use radio telescopes to image the universe. And it turns out that black holes are very bright in the radio spectrum. And so this is a good technique to use to image black holes. And in this case, if you want to make an image of something very, very small, this is a very small object, very, very far away, you have to have a very, very large telescope. The larger the telescope, the higher the resolution, the better you can see, the sharper your image. Similarly, the higher the frequency of the radio waves that you use, the sharper your image. So you want to use a very large telescope with very high frequencies. So what radio astronomers do when they want to make a very sharp image, they combine the light that is seen by different radio telescopes all across the world. So instead of building one giant radio dish, you combine the light in a very, very clever mathematical way of dishes around the globe to make essentially a radio telescope that is the size of the Earth. And so that is the imaging magic, what we call synthesis imaging, that had to be developed to work at these very high frequencies. And that's what allowed us, you know, what allowed astronomers to really make this very, very exciting first image of a black hole.
So is this a small incremental step forward in your field, or is this a huge leap?
I would say this is a huge leap because it allows us now to make connections between how black holes swallow gas, how they accrete gas, and how they generate the energy that we observe and that affects the large-scale environment, the large-scale universe, and the formation of galaxies. So in the future, going forward, with more images, with more technologies and more dishes added to this radio telescope, we will be able to make a complete picture for at least these few black holes where we can actually see them, right? Like this one in M87 and the one in the very center of our galaxy, we can make a complete picture of how gas is swallowed by a black hole and how black holes or their environments spit out this enormous amount of energy in light and particles. And that is a very exciting future.
Sounds very exciting even to a layperson like me. Sebastian, thanks so much for coming by and explaining it.
Thank you.
Sebastian Hines is professor and chair of the astronomy department at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He joined us to talk about the first ever visual evidence of a black hole that was released just this week.